To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I'm back with you after a week off to write. I got on this amazing tear last weekend where I was just writing like crazy. I'm feeling the need to get back to it right now, even as I'm recording, but Gotta get a podcast episode out here, so I'm with you. But I used all my time last weekend for writing. And the novel, the new Alibi Jones novel, is now up over 71,000 words, 71K words, as far as the word count goes. And more to write, definitely. Good reason for a week without an episode, I think. So I'll tell you more about it in the news part of this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. But now I want to set up the story we're about to get into. We're going to get back into the story of our Vatican assassin, who became the Vatican ambassador, and then the cardinal and pope of the new Catholic Church, until he abdicated. And now BC, Bernard Campion, is simply running the government of humankind. That's all, yeah. It's been the Universal Trade Zone, but BC has been putting something together, something new. A representative government called the Solar Alliance. So that's what he's working with, that is, if they survive the war, the interstellar war that's going on. Dolome, one of the human-like race called, now, the Ancient Enemy, back from suspended animation, has been leading a team, a group of humans that he's got under his control. They're kind of a strike force of destructive pirates and just chaos bringers. They've been hitting other races' ships, colonies, and outposts. They did hit a few human targets early on, but the last time Dolome's people went up against BC, BC was able to take out a few of them. But Dolome has built his forces back up while hitting the aliens, so BC knows it's only a matter of time until he returns and tries to hit Earth targets again. Then there's the race that has been keeping order in the settled universe for about a million years, and that's the Eldred. Having helped stop the Ancient Enemy a million years ago, the Eldred have been doing all they can to ensure that that race does not rise again. The Ancient Enemy sent out starseeds, DNA-altering and planting bombs, basically, DNA bombs. They sent out thousands of these to as many habitable worlds as they could. Thousand upon thousand, and after stopping the Ancient Enemy and wiping them out completely, well, just about, except for Dolome, who was in suspended animation, the Eldred began hunting down those starseeds and destroying them. But humankind was shaped by one that the Eldred didn't find. So when they discovered us as we were heading out for the stars, they were alarmed. So they infected us with a plague, killing off huge numbers of people. We've since come up with a vaccine that seems to be working, and we tweaked it so it seems to be working again. They threaten to do more if we dare venture beyond the orbit of Jupiter. They want us to keep inside the solar system, but we're not into that. We have colonies already out beyond things, so we're like, you know what, no. So in the face of these threats, BC has been trying to organize the world into a united front. And he's been succeeding on some level. The Universal Islamic Nation and Universal Trade Zone came together. And as I say, now it's the Solar Alliance. So he's been pushing the unity further with the Solar Alliance. It seems to be working. They've been building a new facility on the largest asteroid, the planetoid Ceres. That's spelled with a C, C-E-R-E-S. That's the largest one out there in the belt. And of course, they're waiting for another alien attack as they build some new ships, equip them, train new crews for them. Trying to get ready as you can be for what they're waiting for. And they're not sure who's going to attack first, Dolome or the Eldred or both. Or they might attack each other because they don't like each other. But now BC is the prime representative of the Solar Alliance. It's a representative government. So that's like the prime minister, except they're called representatives instead of ministers. It's about to meet with the leaders of humankind's four colonies that I was mentioning. They're coming to Sirius Central. He's heading out there. He's going to get to see Anita again. So we'll join BC out in the asteroid belt as we get into Chapter 16 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little book news. I found out that Wix is raising my web cost from $149 a year to $205. Yeah, that was a substantial increase. So seems like a good time to ask you, if you can, to please think about supporting Glow in the Dark Radio on Patreon. I've got that cost. I've got actually a hosting cost because I go through a different site for that. There's also the cost of doing this podcast. The podcast has a host. So there's a few costs involved, and I try to offset those by setting up memberships for people. You can become a member of Glow in the Dark Radio and pledge $2, $5, or $10 a month. And you can do that over at Patreon. Patreon.com is a site that's set up for this so that you give them your credit card information. It's secure. And then they charge your card each month. And it rewards the artists that you support and the websites and the podcasts, etc. There's a lot of people that are set up there. So again, that's Patreon.com. And mine is at Patreon.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio. And you can become a $2, $5, or $10 patron. And again, they sign up through Patreon and they charge your card each month. Painless subscribing. And of course, totally voluntary. Please consider supporting Glow in the Dark Radio today. That's my public broadcasting type moment. My pledge drive moment. Well, I've got some book news as far as comics go, comic book news. Christian Navarro has finished his work for the next Alibi Jones comic. Juan Carlos now has the pages for coloring. He's gotten awful busy, though, Juan Carlos. He's got a video thing he's doing, so. I'm like, okay, come on, Juan Carlos. Get back. Help. But he has those, and Casey Bouchard is doing great work. Pencils, inks, and colors on his pages. He's doing the pages in Alibi's present. And I'm beginning to letter the pages now, so it's happening. Work in progress. Also work in progress, the new Alibi Jones novel, Star Seeds of Earth, as I was saying at the outset. Did all that writing last weekend. It's up over 71K, and we're into some climactic shit, so it's going to probably be about a 90K book, I think. Things are happening I didn't expect, too, which is always fun. It's like, really? Oh, cool. And I'm also seeing glimpses of the future, the next step, the next things that are going to be happening in this universe after this novel. I just write down the ideas now for later, you know, I just can't get into them. So tempting. I want to start doing more now, but it's a siren song distracting me from keeping the current book on course and steering it home. Sticking with that metaphor. So I just write down the general idea and then get back to the current book. But I will say, someone we all thought was dead and gone might not be. So there's that. I'm also narrating a new audiobook, a book on business and tech and the future, by Alexander Ponovyersky. And it's called Speed. It's really quite good. I'm glad to have been hired for it. So I'll let you know more about that as we get closer to its completion and release. It was great to be chosen for it. It's been a little while between audiobook projects, so it's good to get a gig. And that is pretty much my book news. Let's get into that chapter I said was coming. From Vatican Abdicator, Chapter 16, on the way next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather, rinse, repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune in to Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Chapter 16 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Ceres Central is the Solar Alliance's first official new facility. Built on the dwarf planet Ceres and the asteroids, Ceres Central is a hybrid base built for research, trade, and commerce, with a large military component also included. Once a secret project, Ceres Central is now public knowledge and open to the general public. The base is beginning to see some commercial traffic. The threats posed by Dolomei and the Eldred have hung heavy over the construction of the base. A division of SAIF Stinger ships is based at Ceres Central, squadrons kept on constant alert, and the station itself is heavily armed. Each of the 6 radial corridors that come off the central dome is protected by an anti-ship battery, armed with dual energy cannons and defensive measures powered by adapted tech stolen from the Eldred. The batteries are set in place just beyond the end of each corridor, effectively circling the dome with a ring of weaponry. Although granted mission bases on Lunar Prime, civilian flays and domos seem to be gravitating towards Ceres Central. BC spots several flays and domo commercial ships as his liner lowers into a berth at the Ceres Central port.
The place looks sturdy, solid. Hope it's a good place for meetings. Can't believe I'm in charge. But who else was stepping up to do it? I want the war to end so I can quit. I've tried to make up for my past mistakes. Tried to draw the Muslims and Christians together. Better to have them arguing over a book than shooting at each other and blowing each other up. Damn. Flying always gives me too much time to think.
Anita Capituna and a small group of high-ranking Ceres Central personnel are waiting to greet BC as he gets off the ship.
Prime Representative Campion, Anita says with a curt nod, greeting BC with an outstretched hand. She seems cold, aloof.
All business. Okay.
BC shakes her hand. Governor Capituna, he responds. She introduces her head of security, her lieutenant governor, and 2 other bureaucrats from the project with her. An older woman and a younger Latino woman approach as BC finishes with introductions.
Representative Juarez, BC says, greeting his representative for commerce.
Prime Representative?
The Latino woman, Commerce Rep Juarez, answers.
I'd like to introduce you to the governor of the Cat's Eye Colony, Amara Schwartz.
Prime Representative Campion, a pleasure, the older woman says, shaking his hand. I'm looking forward to our meeting tomorrow, she tells him.
As am I, BC responds.
Could you and I meet sooner than that on another issue?
Schwartz asks him.
I'm not sure I... BC looks around for Lisa, his secretary, but she's nowhere around. My schedule is kind of booked.
What does she want?
Well, she starts, but she pauses. Then she starts again. This really isn't the right time or place, but...
She steals herself and then says a little louder,
I want to register a complaint.
This should be good. It's good to be the king?
Oh, BC says. I'm sorry. What is it?
You, the UTZ and the project, moved a squadron of Stinger ships and men to Cat's Eye a month ago, and you never even bothered to warn us.
She says, upset.
I did, and no, we didn't. Cat's Eye is next to the Eldred, close to the Flays. The SAIF squadron used Cat's Eye as a staging area as they went after Dolomei. She has a point.
You should have been warned, BC admits to her. But communication isn't what it should be yet in our new alliance. I am sorry. We were trying to keep the operations secret. But you should have been informed, included among those who needed to know.
Everyone is scared, Prime Representative Campion. We didn't think the plague could touch us, and it did. We know Dolomei's out there, and he's damn close to Cat's Eye, too. Where do you think Dolomei will attack first if a human strike force engages him in Flays or Eldred space? It will either be us or Rigel IV, I guarantee you that. Tell me, Prime Representative, did you... give any thought at all to us. The couple hundred souls who live and work on Cat's Eye for you.
We're doing all we can to ensure everyone's survival, BC says, but the words ring hollow in his own ears.
I'm sure she can hear that emptiness too.
She looks like she wants to say something, but keeps her mouth shut. She looks BC in the eye. She breaks eye contact and turns away abruptly. She walks off, leaves BC standing in the port.
Did she just snub me? Guess I deserve that. I didn't give any thought to Cat's Eye when I sent the SAIF out there. They won't be there long. No mystery why those ships are out there. But no real sign of Dolomei either. Not yet. Not where we can reach him.
BC meets with the colonial representatives the next day. The governors of Cat's Eye, Crankshaft, Rigel IV, and Depot, the name change now official. Amara Schwartz is cordial and diplomatic, and she does not register a formal complaint. The press is allowed to cover the beginning of the meeting. BC intends to make it quick. He and the governors smile as they sit and nod at each other, letting the media cameramen get their footage. BC then begins with an opening statement for the media. We all appreciate the pioneering spirit of the colonies. Humanity's outposts among the stars, BC says, trying to sound more impressive than he feels. We are lucky to have Sirius Central as our hub to humanity's outer reaches. We could agree to meet here at Sirius Central every 3 months, more often if necessary, to check in with each other and cover any problems and concerns the governors have, he suggests.
Yeah, I like that idea, Fari Anslan of Rigel IV says. The other governors nod their agreement.
We agree. Well, looks like we're off to a great start, BC says for the press's benefit. I want to thank the media. The rest of the meetings will be private for now. Thank you. They switch off the media feed.
I hope you all meant that. I did.
Every 3 months, at the least.
Glad you weren't just acting for the cameras, Amara Schwartz comments. I know we have a limited agenda today, but next time, I want to talk about repopulation. We've got empty space, lots of room, since the plague, Fari Anslan says.
I'm afraid there is a lot of room everywhere, Anita responds, speaking up.
Governor Capituna is right, I'm afraid, BC acknowledges.
No lack of room anywhere.
Have you given any thought to abolishing private property?
Governor Ken Grissom of Crankshaft asks. When everyone else simply stares at him, Grissom gets defensive.
What? We've talked about it on Crankshaft.
I'm not looking to do anything radical, BC tells them. We've got a couple of dangerous enemies out there. They're just waiting to hit us again. We don't know where, when, or even how. So that's got to be our pressing concern. Social engineering, political experiments. We don't have the luxury of time to mess around with these things. They'll have to wait until this present danger is over and done with.
I think we've pressed our luck with the political experiments and social engineering we've already been working on. We're lucky the Eldred are holding back. Lucky Dolomei is out there, not here. But neither situation will last. When will the bow break?
Worry about the pressing threat? That seems wise to me.
Su Qin, the governor of Depot, says.
First things first.
Is there anything else that needs our immediate attention? BC asks.
Not really,
Amara Schwartz says. The other governors agree. Well, I'm glad we could do this, meet like this, BC says. Just trying to protect our endangered species. Thanks again for meeting with me today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The delegates say their thanks and farewells and depart, leaving BC and Anita alone in the conference room.
Well, that went well, BC says. You think so? Anita asks.
You don't?
You haven't given them any thought at all, have you? Not until just now, right? Have you?
Is it that obvious?
Well, Anita ponders, I could see it. But I know you better than they do.
And I already told you. I thought they were project branches, not colonies, so you know I wasn't paying attention to them.
Touché, Anita admits. So, yeah, then, I guess it went okay.
Another uneasy silence erupts between them.
So, BC says, you still want to do dinner tonight?
Of course, she says with an uneasy laugh.
What, see you in about an hour?
About an hour?
Sure, yeah, right, BC answers awkwardly. I'll see you then, he almost stammers.
See you then, she says.
Neither of them move.
Well, BC starts. I should...
Anita begins at the same time. Both stop.
I'm gonna go, BC says. He ducks quickly out of the conference room. Thoughts race through his head as he walks back to his rooms.
Great. I'm the ruler of the free world, and I still can't deal well with women. Or maybe it's just Anita.
BC manages to find his way back to his rooms.
Everything is so new here. Maybe that makes it the right place for new beginnings.
BC refreshes and readies himself for dinner.
He meets Anita on schedule, and they head together to one of the only restaurants open on Ceres Central. Restaurants seem to be the last commercial businesses to take off on any colony, not really viable until most of the grunt work is done. Most early colonists stick to the commissary for a cheap but healthy diet. BC and Anita finally have the restaurant, an Italian place called Giovanni's, just about all to themselves. The restaurant is decorated like an old Italian grotto, a little touch of old Earth on its newest colony, on Ceres.
We try to take Earth with us, wherever we go.
BC and Anita make small talk until the food arrives, comparing notes on supplies, personnel, ships. Neither says much as they eat.
How's your spaghetti?
Anita asks BC midway through the meal. Good, good, it's good, BC answers, trying not to talk with his mouth full of food. Your lasagna?
Good, she replies, nodding. It's good, too. Want to try some?
No, thanks, BC begs off. I'm already almost full on this spaghetti. They serve a pretty healthy portion here, huh?
Yeah, Anita agrees. Good size.
The conversation sputters out as they return to eating. They continue to eat in silence.
You know, I kind of like the quiet.
You know, BC, I sort of like this quiet, Anita says, breaking the silence.
Weird.
I was just thinking the same thing, BC says. I was worried that I wasn't, I don't know, you know, coming up with, you know, something witty. Or anything, really. I'm not like a stellar conversationalist.
I asked you how your spaghetti was, Anita says with a hint of self-deprecation.
Dessert, the waiter says, suddenly appearing tableside. Just a coffee, BC orders.
Another water, Anita tells the server. She turns back to BC. We talk all the time, BC. Sometimes it's nice to, not talk, you know?
They do talk a little over coffee and water. It does feel good to relax a little, BC muses. Even though I know they're out there, hanging over us, biding their time, the Eldred, Dolome.
And Fiza. And fuck you, Brain, for going there now.
I know what you mean. It's nice to relax, but you can't get too comfortable, Anita agrees with BC. But somehow, I've got a good feeling for some reason. I'm not usually superstitious, but I feel like they aren't going to bother us tonight.
Oh, really? BC teases. What? Did you strike up some sort of side deal with them or something?
If only, she laughs. Nah, it's just a feeling.
The waiter brings the check over. Anita demands that they split the bill. BC starts to protest, and then decides he knows better than to argue with her. More awkwardness ensues when it's time to go. So, what are you, doing tonight? BC asks Anita, as they both stand up from the table.
What do you mean? She asks him.
Oh, come on, that's not fair.
Do you want to go get a drink or something somewhere? He manages.
Sure, she agrees. She smiles a brief, crooked smile at BC. I know a place we can go.
The bars were Ceres Central's first commercial establishments, thrown together just after the commissary was up and running in the colony's earliest days. Workers building the new frontier let off steam in their off hours, drinking and enjoying the entertainment in the bars. BC and Anita find a place playfully called Royd's. The bar is crowded with Ceres Central colonists. Anita has to put on her best Governor Capituna smile and nod as she passes by her constituents on their way through the crowd to an open booth. BC gets off easy. No one seems to notice him.
Pay no attention to the prime representative, please.
That booth emptied pretty quick for us. For her. Well, Governor, rank does have its privileges, doesn't it?
Once they're seated, the crowd leaves them alone. BC and Anita have a couple of drinks and talk about nothing for about an hour, and then decide to call it a night. They settle their tab and get ready to go. Walk you back to your rooms? BC offers. Sure, Anita says with a little smile. They walk together to her rooms and stop outside her door. A passing tech stops, startled.
Hello, Governor. Hello, Prime Representative, she says nervously. She ducks her head and trundles off down the corridor.
For some reason, I feel awkward.
Anita and BC watch her go. Anita turns to BC.
Hurry up and come in, she chides BC playfully.
They step inside her rooms. When the door closes behind them, Anita steps up to BC, puts her arms up around his shoulders, and looks him in the eye.
You know, BC, there are times I like being a public figure. I like being in a position where I can help people, do good, all that. But I like to step out of you, too. Get out of the public eye. Don't you?
Yeah, BC manages. She wrinkles her forehead.
Oh, that was smooth.
She plants a kiss on him anyway. He draws her in and they connect with some kind of electricity, once again charging the air between them. BC feels supercharged. Anita leans into him, on him. They draw apart after a few minutes. "Wow," BC says. "You know, I..." Anita shushes him with a finger to his lips.
"No more talking," she says.
She takes him by the hand and leads him to the bedroom, pulls him over to her, next to her bed. They kiss again, and it slowly transforms into carnal lovemaking. Later, BC watches Anita sleep.
A Latino angel.
BC thinks about the first time he saw her, after knocking her out with a hatch cover in a supply room on Lunar Prime, ages ago.
"Even when she was trying to kill me, there was something about her."
That was Chapter 16 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC and Anita finding love in the midst of war. BC was getting a taste of being in charge there, too, with the colony leaders. Waiting for the proverbial alien shoe to drop. Alien shoes? Won't be long now, I'd imagine. Chapter 17, coming up on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Recap on the news, the comic book, the next Alibi Jones comic book is coming together. I'm doing a new business audiobook, so I'll tell you more about that as it's getting finished and getting out in a couple of weeks. Writing on the new Alibi Jones novel, Up Past 71K. And I want to remind you to please support Glow in the Dark Radio by becoming a member. For $2, $5, or $10 a month. And you can do that at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. That is all for this time around. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.